Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Do you guys know JC? Dude, if you don't know JC, for real, you got to meet JC. If you could just put your hand out, guys. Father, I thank you for my brother JC. God, I thank you that you put your word in him. I thank you that you are making the line between him and Jesus more and more blurry every day, God. I thank you that he loves people and that you've given him that love for people. And Father, I just speak wisdom over him right now. I speak peace over him right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Wow. There's books written about that topic, and I have 20 minutes to bring something in. There's, I mean, people's PhD degrees, dissertations written on that topic. So with God's help, we're going to bring it in, God's help. I'm going to pray. I need to pray really quick here. Lord, I want to thank you for this honor, opportunity that you have given me to be in front of this great body of yours, Lord. And I pray now for, give me the wisdom and give me the clarity, Lord, and yes. You know, and that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would just be able to communicate. But what you showed me, what you taught me, what you spoke to my heart, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, at work, we're closing up the year, and the regional VP got us all together, the whole team, and basically we did an inventory of how the year was, a quick inventory, and you know we saw the great wins and the losses, and what went right and what didn't go right. And then at the end it was a great year, but we want more. I know that's from the business side. Yeah, we want more, and in essence, it's like we're only as good as yesterday. We're only as good as yesterday. It feels like from the corporate world, and sometimes life is the same way. We just throw stuff at us. And we're, I was doing so great, and now I'm, we're only as good as yesterday. And doing an inventory of 2023, personally, I lost, this church went through, we lost some people. I remember Sister Mary Allen, yes. Prayer warrior. Yes. She's with the Lord, but yet we're sad. I remember my sweet, sweet, good friend, Rory. Friend, all of us. And he fought the good fight. And he's with the Lord now. He's rejoicing. We're the ones struggling. Stephen. I used to call him Big Stephen. I remember I'm going to share something that nobody knew. You're about to know now. I think Sarah knows this. I worked the door. I'm the lonely guy, and we have a great team, and for years worked it gladly. I'm the doorman, and I'm staying there. And I remember one day it was sad. I was just all alone working there. Everybody's in, and we were having communion, and I'm just sitting there. I'm like, I was sad. I remember seeing Big Stephen comes out with, they're having communion. He brought in the cup and the bread, and he came up to me and said, "Let's have communion together, brother." Wow. And we did. And stay with me. And I'm bringing it out in public, and he's with the Lord now. But wow. I remember one day we got a call from Sister Sherry, the heiress, can you please look after my mom, Miss Glenda? I would always call her. So we went over and we spent an evening with her, and I learned so much from her. took an inventory. I'm taking an inventory of what I've done in 2023. And I learned so much from her. And now she passed on. She's with the Lord now. A few months ago, I lost my dad. Ooh, hit me hard. Hit me hard. And I'm going forward with it. So what am I saying? It's just like, we got 2023. You know, we like to take inventory of what we've done and what we're going to do and so forth. And God has been asking me that question, that it's there. What's keeping you up at night? What's keeping me up at night? And I'm going to be real. You know, the biggest lie there is, and I come from a third world country, you know, South America, third world country. And the biggest lie is that they see, they have the perception that if you're from the United States, the great United States of America, the richest country in the world, which it is, you know, oh, everything's beautiful, everything's wonderful, you know. And but there's people who still can't sleep at night. It's like, what's keeping you up at night? That's a reality, you know. And because... Can I see the scripture there, please? The first set of scriptures, and I want to try to walk with what in the book of John here, chapter 14, John 14. It says, you know, and I read, all this I have spoken while still with you. The next says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. And will remind you of everything I have said to you. It says, peace, and this is going to be one of my cornerstone scripture. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. My gosh, do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. And if we can summarize, you know, if we can summarize, and can we go to the next scripture, please? The next one. It says, this is in chapter 16. And basically, this is the summary of what I just read on chapter 14, 15. And now this is the last verse on chapter 16, and it says, I have told you these things, more than once, these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world, spoiler alert, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Okay, so the Lord didn't abandon us. Jesus left us two things. Left us his Holy Spirit, his word, through the Holy Spirit, his word. And he left us his peace. Okay, I'm trying to build my case here, folks. So bear with me, please, bear with me. Two things. He left us his Holy Spirit, the counselor, the word, you know, and he left his peace. Not the peace that you can go and get at a dispensary. Not the peace that comes in a bottle. Not the peace that comes in a six-pack. His peace. Yeah. You know, and he says, I give you and I leave you my peace. Yeah. So, question. What keeps you up at night? I had a chance to go visit with my wife, my mother-in-law. Great woman of God. My mother-in-law, she is 92 years old. Okay, I'm going somewhere. She's 92 years old, and she got saved when she was a teenager. And she was a very, very sick child. Doctors said that you would never be able to have kids. She had a heart condition. She will faint. She didn't even finish her schooling. And a great man of God went and prayed for her in one of those crusades down in deep South America. And make a long story short, she got married at 18 years old. Married a great man of God. He was 19. 18. And she said, Lord, If you give me one baby, one child, I will have them all for you. She had 13. 13. And they all served the Lord. They're all alive. We got doctors. They went over and they were traveling missionaries all throughout South America, deep South America. My wife was born in one country. Another sister was born in another country. They got a collection of passports. They even went up to Guatemala, up into the mountains of Guatemala, and they opened up churches and so forth there. And she's 92 years old. And here's my point. Here's where I want to go in. I got a chance to sit down on, and I wrote the date, November 23rd, around 8:30 in the morning. And I said, Mom, I said, let me ask you a quick question. What would you do different if you were 18 years old, if you were 18 years old again, knowing what you know now about your walk in the Lord? Imagine this woman has walked with the Lord all through the deepest part of the jungle in South America. She's been there opening. And they got stories among stories that where God was plan A, God was plan A, God was plan B. See, everything was God. That's all they had. And I said, what would you do different, knowing what you know now about the Lord, if you were 18 years old again? And this is what she said. And guys, there's a lot of, and I want to say this with all the respect of the word. Of the word here. We got a lot of old timers, and I mean that with a great respect. People who follow God's wisdom. God's wisdom here. There's people, I don't see the Mr. Don Casaban. I don't see him here. You know, Rick Perry, not that I'm not saying you're old. You're well seasoned, but you're not old. This guy is full of wisdom, you know. John Block, I'm not saying you're old. You're a fine senior citizen. You're a fine senior citizen. You know, but you're not old. I got Mike here. I'm looking at Mike as well here. You know, and the ladies as well. Boy, because they're nothing without their mate. And I'm saying, so I asked her, and this is what she said. 92 years old. This is 100% wisdom, what she said. She said, I will live my life without fear. And I don't mean the fear. The word of God says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. I don't mean that type of fear. I'm talking the fear of how am I going to face tomorrow? The fear of the what if. The fear of the what if. The what if will kill us. The what if. You know, what keeps us up at night again? What's keeping me up at night? And she said, I will not allow fear to reign over my life. And he says, God is faithful. That's what she said. God is faithful. God is loyal. He's faithful. You know. And then the third thing she said was, man, I will go deep on the word. I will go deep, deep. I'm talking Jack Rousseau deep. I'm going deep. You know, those are my words. The Jack Rousseau piece. But she says, I will go deep in the word. Imagine that 92. If I was to sit down and ask Don Casaban here, hey, brother, if you were back 18 years old, you know, what would you do different? Knowing what you know now about your walk in the Lord, my gosh, what comes out of his mouth is wisdom. So youngsters, young people, seek out these old timers, and I mean that with more respect, and have a 30-minute conversation with them. See what comes out of their mouth. You know, see what comes out of their mouth. I guarantee you, we will be amazed, because the beauty of God's word, the beauty of it is the simplicity, and yet it makes it so hard. Jesus left us the answer. I'm leaving you my Holy Spirit that will guide you, that will be with you, and I'll leave you my peace. Because everything that on verse 33 again, it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And the world will have trials. Man, it is hard. We're going to have tribulation. It is hard. Come on, guys. It is hard. It's not easy. But here it is. I have conquered the world. Yes. I have conquered the world. God is so honest. God is so real. I am going to read some words here that these are not, these words were written, but they've been sort of made into the marketing theme. So it could be sold as a postcard. You've probably seen this before. And then I'm going to go ahead and have Deacon, when I tell him, he's going to put the true words. Of, this is a, so it's, and then I'm going to tell him, and then I'm going to explain about it. Please bear with me. It says, I believe in the sun even when it's not shining. I believe in love even when I cannot feel it. It says, I believe in God even when he is silent. Go ahead. Put that in. Okay. Those are the true words. I just read was the version for the marketing. You can buy little plaques. I don't know if you ever heard that. If you read that before, you can buy plaques and all that. But allow me to explain the story. Allow me to go ahead and get into Mr. Rick Perryman's terrain in terms of historian. But these are the true words. I said, I believe in the sun, though it be dark. I believe in God, though he be silent. And I believe in neighborly love, though it be unable to reveal itself. 1944, middle of Cologne, Germany. The city of Cologne, Germany is actually a city that goes beyond, goes back into the Roman Empire, 38 BC. It goes in. It used to be a colony of the Holy Roman area of that of the Roman Empire. So it's a well city. Well, it was actually built, and there were a lot of undergrounds, like you have in Atlanta, Georgia, for example. There were undergrounds. And then the city has grew up, and now in the 1700s, 1800s, and so forth, grew up. And then back in during the Second World War II, there were actually people surviving in the underground. And then these particular words were penned by a group of nine Jewish that were hiding from the Nazis. Okay, and here's the irony. They were hiding under a cellar that right on top of it was a headquarters for the Gestapo, which is the Nazi secret police that we all know, have heard of them, Gestapo. So these people were living in darkness, and then out of the mercy of, I guess, folks that knew about them will go ahead and drop food every so often. And they would only cook at night because in daytime they couldn't have any smoke, they couldn't have any noises. Obviously, right on top of them, there were the headquarters of the Gestapo for that area. And when they were liberated, okay, in 1945, United States soldiers, the history says that they found these scriptures here. It says, and again, I believe in the sun, though it would be dark, and I believe in God, though it be silent, and I believe in neighborly love through it be unable to reveal itself. What a word. Imagine these people were living in darkness, and they survived, by the way. They survived. And then they try to play that these words were found in a concentration camp and so forth, just to give it a little more drama to it. No, the truth is, the reality of the story was these folks, it was nine Jewish men, they survived. And they're the ones who have been accredited to having pinned this in scriptures on the wall. My point is that these folks had the faith. They were facing, they knew we're probably not going to make it, but they had the faith to pin these amazing words. Imagine us now. Imagine us that we know the reality, we know the truth of God. You know, we know, and I got a few more, one more story. And we're going to close. One more story. We'll go back to World War II. And you probably heard of this story, World War II, the war is ended. The aftermath, now the Allies coming in, the British, the United States, some Canadians, Australians. And they were coming in and they were seeing this aftermath. The Russians were too busy trying to carve for themselves, you know, but you know that's another story. And they started finding all these great concentration camps being revealed. And with it, they started finding orphans. These little orphan kids were coming out. And they're like, wow, this were being collected. So they were building these hospitals, like you see these tent hospitals, and they were shipping in, and they got doctors and nurses and then trying to take care of, what do we do? And then they had these medical hospitals here for the kids, and they were giving, you know, health care, they were being well fed, and they were just trying to get him going. But they were realizing that the kids, even though they had everything, all the basic necessities being met, they were not sleeping. They were not sleeping. So they figured out, but what is it? They have everything. They eat and they got the shelter. They got warmth. They were trying to love them and they're not sleeping. And then they went over and they the story goes, true story, it says they started giving them a piece of bread. Before they go to bed, they just literally just breaking a little piece of bread, and that was their teddy bear, if I may say that. And they have that little teddy bear and that little piece of bread, and they started noticing that the kids started sleeping. They started sleeping. And I'm like, whoa. So imagine that, because right, and now studying the case, they realized that even though they went through all that drama, now they call it PTSD, they went through it, and even though they were eating, but in their mind, they're saying all they knew was starvation. And then that little piece of bread, they were saying it with themselves, I don't care what happens today. I know that I ate, but tomorrow, I know I'm going to eat again. I have my little piece of bread, and that will give them enough peace to go to the next day and the next day. I want to use that as a parallel. I mean, I don't know how 2023 was to you. Was it a good year, a bad year? I don't know. I for me, it was a hard year. I never had anyone die like close to me. And then after my dad died, it just the family just started coming unglued. My mom is 81 years old. Can I be real? 81 years old, and she's diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And what are we going to do with her? You know, and we have a sort of dysfunctional family. Can I be real? Can I be honest? What keeps you up at night? And I'm 6 years away from retirement. I'm not that young anymore. I'm 6 years away where I'm going to be 65 years old. Wow. And I'm looking at my numbers and I'm looking at my, I'm not there yet. I'm behind, because I'm looking at the guy here and the guy there. Oh, I got this in my portfolio and I got that. And I'm like, I'm so behind. And I'm like, Lord, what keeps you up at night? Can I be real? What keeps you up? Hey, if we're going to come to church, let's be real. Amen. Let's be real. And I see this, and I my mind, and I says, Lord, and then I go back to the Word. I go back to the Word. Jesus. The simplicity of the Word is so simple. It says, if anyone hears my word, and does it. You know, remember that Matthew 7:24. And anybody hears my word and they does it. You know, and then it comes the second part. I will compare you as a wise man who built his house on the rock. That's a great message within itself. That's a great message. But that is not what Jesus was trying to say. Jesus was trying to say is, if anybody hears my word and puts it into practice. That was the main message. And here we are, so as simple as it is. The simplest thing is so hard. It's so hard. He says, I've given you the Holy Spirit. I am giving you my word. And I'm giving you my peace. So you can face tomorrow. In fact, God gave me some words. I'm going to say it. And it says, let's stop looking to the past so we can understand how we feel today. But rather, let's look into the future and the promises that God has said about me and you. So we can have the courage and the strength to face today, and then to keep going forward. So we can have the courage, because we cannot face 2024 until we face today. And I cannot face tomorrow until I face today. As the beautiful song says, because he lives, I can face today. So simple. Let's put God's word to practice. We have His Holy Spirit and we have His peace. That's all. That's all we need. He's conquered the whole world. Don't let you, literally the word, you know, it says, you will have trials, you will have tribulations, but take heart. In other words, saying, don't let your heart deceive you. You know, Jeremiah 17 says, the heart is wicked beyond anything else. Wicked, wicked. Who should know it? And nobody can answer that question. That's when God says, I, because I know what's in it, and I'll give everyone according to the purpose that I have for them. He knows. He's the only one who can answer that question. So don't let your heart trouble you. Don't let your heart deceive you. Everything is done. We want to face 2024, which is the year of the Lord. 2024 is the year of the Lord. Why? Because it's His time, and we're in His will. So therefore, it's our year. Amen. God bless you, brothers. We got to keep going forward. We know the word. Amen. Do the word of God. It's simple, yet sometimes it's too hard. Amen. I'm gonna close. We're going to have our ushers come in. And if anybody needs prayer, we're here for that. We're here for prayer. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.